Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Time marches on, as the saying goes. Not long ago, I was thinking about what to do for Lent, for Advent, and now I'm already planning on what we might be doing for Lent. You might be getting ready for the new year as well. You might be reviewing your finances and making final preparations for taxes. We barely have time to stop and take a look at what the season is really all about. On Christmas Eve, we heard about peace and quiet. I wonder, did you find time to listen, to be in that peace and quiet? Were you able to hear that still small voice that we talked about? But time moves on. Already, Jesus is about 6 weeks old in the gospel lesson for today. Mary and Joseph have taken him to the temple, and they are there regarding the things that are done for firstborn. Those things are described in the law of Moses in our Old Testament reading. While the children of Israel were still in Egypt, God told Moses to tell the people of Israel that their firstborn should be dedicated to him. He says, "Consecrate to me the firstborn of both man and beast, for they are mine." To consecrate means to set aside or to dedicate. Further, God said, every human child, firstborn son, must be redeemed, that is, bought back. To redeem something or somebody means to gain or to regain possession of someone or something in exchange for some kind of payment. For example, if you take something to the pawn shop, you can later go back and redeem it by paying a fee, which probably would be more than what was paid to you in the first place. To consecrate, to dedicate Jesus to God's service is what Mary and Joseph were doing. But they were also there to redeem him, to buy him back. And so the price that had to be paid because they were poor was two doves. Luke's record of this event is a little bit surprising when you consider what he writes with what we would do at a baptism today. Luke didn't describe the name of the priest. He doesn't talk about the ceremony and whether or not it went smoothly. He didn't say if there's any witnesses there. He doesn't say if it was done in the morning or the evening. Contrast that with what people would record today about a baptism. The church would record the name of the pastor, the name of the child, the name of the parents, the name of the godparents. There would be lots of pictures taken with the baby in the pastor's arms and with the baby together with the godparents and then with grandparents, and all of the relatives would have their picture taken. But Luke doesn't describe that ceremony at all. He simply says, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. What a simple statement. Here's Jesus, the Savior of the world, the greatest story ever told, brought to the temple, and no one really pays attention. But then, like today, the temple was a busy place. It was a place where people were walking back and forth and hustling to and fro, and even then, people were caught up in the busyness of life. I can imagine some people dragging animals that were going to be sacrificed. The money changers over in the corner were perhaps honking their rates of money exchange. People were coming and going, and some were praying, and some were preparing to recite prayers, and so on. What Luke does record about this event are the prophetic words of two old people. Two old people that probably were ignored most of the time. Simeon, who we hear about, had been promised that he would see the Savior of the world before he died. And Anna had lived in the temple for most entirely her adult life. They were probably there in the temple so much of the time that people just really didn't pay any attention anymore as to whether or not they were really there. And so when Mary and Joseph come, they were hardly big news. Certainly there were other parents who brought their children to be redeemed as well. So here they come up the steps, Mary carrying Jesus in her arms. And as they approach, this old man Simeon comes up, and he takes the baby, and he gives thanks to God, and he blesses God, and he blesses the family. And he speaks the words that we still sing today. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. Many churches sing that after communion every Sunday. And next comes this little old lady named Anna. And she also gives thanks to God. And Luke says that she speaks to all who would listen about this special baby. It could be that not too many people were listening. There was too much hustle and bustle going on. Time was passing too quickly. At this point, Jesus was still an infant in his life. A few weeks earlier, he had been circumcised and given the name Jesus. Now he is consecrated and redeemed. The next event that we read about is when Jesus is 12 years old and he remains at the temple when his parents head back home. And then we don't hear much about him or anything about him until his baptism by John when he begins his ministry. But this is not any ordinary infant. This is the Savior of the world. He was redeemed by his earthly parents. But God, his Father, would not redeem him. God would not buy him back. God would follow his command from the Old Testament, and that was to sacrifice him. And so he died on a cross to save us from our sins. But because Jesus was consecrated, because he was redeemed, he was set aside for God in our baptism. In that baptism, we become children of God, and we receive the forgiveness that God, Jesus earned on the cross. In that baptism, we receive a new life, and for the rest of our lives, we are to serve God. Well, those are some interesting stories. How should we respond to these texts? Sacrificing is not something that we like to talk about. To sacrifice means you give something up, something that has value to you, something that you like. In sports, we hear about baseball players bunting a sacrifice bunt, or perhaps hitting a sacrifice fly. They give up their opportunity at bat to get home so that another runner from their team can either advance or score a score. Football players will sacrifice themselves to catch a football or to tackle one of their opponents. I remember well when I was in high school playing football. I was the punter, and I punted the ball as far as I could. And everybody ran down the field, and I kind of trotted back down. And then as I looked, I realized that the guy who had caught the ball had not been tackled. And the only thing between him and the goal line was me. And as I ran toward this guy that weighed 75 pounds more than I and stood 10 inches taller than I remember thinking, this is gonna hurt. As parents, you sacrifice sleep and time and finances for your children. We just don't like making a sacrifice. We don't like giving something up, unless, of course, there's something in it for us. At least then we feel if we made a sacrifice, we get some recognition. We feel somehow vindicated in that. Jesus sacrificed his life by becoming human. He showed up as a helpless baby in a manger in a little town long ago on a cold and dark night. He lived a simple and ordinary life that was probably pretty difficult. And then during his ministry, the Pharisees gave him a bad time. They tried to trick him every chance they got. Most of the people that he healed and that he preached to didn't follow him after all. And finally, he died the death of a criminal on the cross in pain and in agony. And he did all this to mend the broken relationship between you and me and God. So, what are we supposed to do? Yes, Jesus died on the cross, I'm aware of that. Yes, I'm baptized, and here I am in the last half of my life still worshiping and praising God. And yes, I look forward to eternity with God in heaven. The answer to that question of how we're supposed to respond today, I believe, comes from the words of Paul in the epistle lesson. In the verses leading up to our reading for today, Paul says, tells the Colossians that they must now give up some things. Because you are Christians, he says, you must give up some things that you kind of like doing. Then he goes on to say, as God's chosen ones, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, Paul says, put on love. Love is that which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's how we respond. At our baptism, God gave us a new life. It was like taking off an old, dirty, and torn coat that we might be wearing. And in that baptism, he gave us a brand new coat to put on. At Christmas, Christ gave us a brand new coat to put on that we need to wear. Paul lists several other things that we should do. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He says, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. In all things, no matter what you do, do it to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God our Father. That's how we should respond to this baby who came to the temple on this day a long time ago to be consecrated, to be redeemed. And Paul says, and coming up that very hour was Anna. Anna tells us another way that we should respond. She says, she gives thanks to God, first of all, and then she says, she begins to speak of him, of this Christ child, to anyone who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You and I, too, have been redeemed. We have been bought back with Jesus' life and Jesus' sacrifice. The reality is that of this infant consecrated today, the Jesus who will be crucified 3 decades later, that person changes our lives. He transforms us into new creations. He does that so that we can become his ambassadors here on earth. We are no longer like those two old people that met Christ today in the temple. But we hear Simeon's words, and with him we sing praises to God. And like Anna, we need to speak of this child, the Savior of the world, to everyone who will listen to us. We need to do that because, you see, Jesus has come, Jesus has lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and he will come again in glory. Amen.